BBC presents Destination Fire. The Guilty Ghost. A story by Philip Levine with Robert Beatty as Hugh Barnaby, fire investigator.
Come in. Yes, Mr. Haywood.
Customs officers aboard, Captain.
No flies on them, are there? Show him in.
Right, sir. You can come through, sir.
Welcome home, Captain Clark.
Thank you. Well, how's the ferret brigade?
Still tunnelling.
Oh, you've met Mr. Haywood, my chief steward.
Have we met before?
No, I don't think so, sir. My first trip on the White Star. Well, I'd better check that order for the fresh supplies.
Well, what are we carrying this time?
Nothing exciting. Teak, mahogany, and some rush matting.
And ports of call?
Lagos, Freetown, Dakar.
Lucky you.
The manifest and the rest of the junk's on my desk there. Help yourself.
Thanks. Yes, how many crew this trip?
40.
And 3 passengers?
Well, better say 2.
Well, it says 3 here, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest and the Mr. Moreau.
I'm afraid we lost Mr. Moreau 2 days ago.
What, overboard?
No. Heart failure, as far as we can tell.
Good Lord. So you've got him below, have you?
Yes, but I won't be sorry to put him ashore. Ghastly, you know, having a corpse on board.
Yes.
Upsets the crew.
Was Moreau a company man?
No, private passenger. It wasn't his first trip with me. He'd been out 3 or 4 times in the last couple of years. Importer, I believe. Well-educated chap. Courageous, too.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, he went down with polio some years ago. Had to hobble around on a couple of sticks.
Any next of kin?
Well, I know he had a wife. She saw him off and usually picks him up. Attractive woman. I wired headquarters when it happened. I expect they've notified her. Yeah?
Forgive me butting in, sir, but Mrs. Moreau's just turned up.
What?
I don't think she knows, sir.
Blast, that's just what I've been dreading.
Well, I'd better get out of your way, Captain. Okay if my men start rummaging?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll see you anon.
Yes, all right. Well, Haywood, let's have her in. And I'd better talk to her alone.
Yes, sir. Would you come this way, please, madam?
Oh, thank you. Oh, hello, Captain Clark.
Mrs. Morrow, has the shipping company been in touch with you?
I wouldn't know. I've been away for a few days. I've come straight from the station.
I see. Sit down, would you?
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I've got some bad news for you.
What is it? Is it about my husband? Has something happened to Paul?
I'm afraid he's dead.
Paul dead? Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, let me get you a drink. Now, come along. Now sip it. That's the idea.
I'm sorry.
There was no need to apologize. He left you this letter. He asked me to give it to you. Go ahead, read it if you want.
Where is he?
He's in his cabin. Now, I shouldn't bother with his luggage for the moment. We'll be here for a day or two.
Yes. All right.
Now, if you're feeling up to it, I'll get one of my men to find your taxi.
Hello, Captain Clark.
I'm just off home. Drop these in the post for my chief steward, would you, Fred?
Certainly, Captain. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Riverside Wharf, gatekeeper speaking. Hello? Riverside Wharf, hello? Press button A, please, would you? Hello? Oh, go to blazes.
Fred!
Oh, Mr. Haywood, what's up?
Ship's alight.
No!
Fire raging in number 1 hold. Quick, Get the brigade and the river fire service.
Morning, Val.
Good morning, Mr. Barnaby. I've turned the town upside down looking for you.
Why, what's happened?
Yes, there was a fire aboard the White Star last night. Imperial Line. They've telephoned 3 times from Liverpool.
Oh, they don't want me to go way up there, do they?
No, no, not to the office. Directly to the dock. And if you don't want to lose your retainer, I'd make it snappy if I were you. And when you get there, ask for Captain Clark.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Captain Clark.
Oh, how do you do, sir? Well, I expected to see a floating shell. I wouldn't know you'd had a fire from up here.
Wait till you see number one hold. You'll think we've been having a barbecue.
Really? Has the assessor been down from the marine insurance?
Oh, they're not concerned. The rates are so high, we're carrying the first 2,000. No, this little lot's the company's liability. That's why you've been called in.
Are you carrying anything inflammable?
Oh, not to speak of. Small cargo of rush matting, teak and mahogany. The timber's stacked on deck, as you can see. 2 of the holds were empty, but number 1, where the fire started, contained the matting. But I expect you want to look around, so let's go down.
Thanks very much. No lights down here.
No, there's no permanent lighting in any of the holes. We run an extension if necessary. Otherwise, we make do with torchlight.
Do you mind if I borrow yours?
Certainly.
Thanks.
There's a fair bit of water down here.
From the fire brigade, huh?
Yes, but we'll be pumping it out shortly. I thought it best to wait till you'd had a look around.
Thanks, I'm glad you did. No other cargo down here, bar the rush matting?
No.
Is there any way through to the other holes?
No, they're deliberately sealed as a fire precaution. They've each got their own entrance and ladder.
Mm-hmm. It must have been quite a blaze.
We were lucky. Another 15 minutes and might have got through the bulkhead.
Were you here at the outbreak, Captain?
No, I went home for the night. Just sat down to a beautiful supper when I got a call from my chief steward, Mr. Haywood.
I see. How many men were aboard?
Well, there should have been 4. Chief steward, engineer, deck officer and cook. But they'd been at sea 4 or 5 days, so the chief steward let him pop round the corner for a drink. He was the only one on board at the time.
Uh-huh. What time did the fire start exactly?
Just on 11. What have you found there?
An old torch.
It's my engineer's, by the look of it. Left here during the repairs, I expect. Mm. It won't be much good to him now. Water's seeped in. You got something else?
There's a fair bit of rag and cotton waste floating about. Smells of oil.
Used for mopping up leaks.
Would they have used linseed oil?
It's possible. Is it important?
Well, could be.
Then let's find my chief engineer. He can tell you more about that than I can. Bill, this is Mr. Barnaby. He's here about the fire.
Oh, yes?
My chief engineer, Bill Taylor.
How do you do, Chief?
Oh, sorry, can't shake hands. A bit greasy.
Not to worry. There seems to be a fair amount of oily rags and cotton waste in that number one hole.
Well, we've had a few repairs down there.
But have these rags been used to mop up any linseed or vegetable oils, do you know?
Not to my knowledge. Does it matter?
Well, in certain circumstances, oily rags or waste can heat up and catch fire.
Well, we've used no linseed oil on this trip.
Still, I'll have to get a sample tested.
Well, do if it'll satisfy you.
Oh, by the way, Bill, does this torch belong to you?
Yes. Where'd you find that?
In number one hold.
But I haven't been down there since we left Lagos. Besides, I was using that torch in here before we docked last night.
Then how'd it get into the hold?
Now you're asking. It was in my overall pocket behind that door when I went ashore. As a matter of fact, the battery had almost conked out, and I remember thinking I must get another one.
Well, Mr. Barnaby found it down there.
I don't doubt it, but I'm damned if I know how he got there.
Hello, Val.
Hello, Q.
Sorry to drag you all the way down here.
Oh, that's all right.
Look, Take this parcel. There's some cotton waste and rag in it.
Yeah?
And I want you to get Alec to check it and see if there's any vegetable or linseed oil present. The fire could have been accidental, spontaneous combustion, but I just want to be sure.
Radio, you staying on here?
Well, for the moment, I want to examine the other two holds. I think I'd better go. The captain's waiting for me. I'll call you at the office later. See you.
Bye. Oh, driver, back to where you picked me up, please.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Captain.
That's all right. Did you see my chief steward, Mr. Haywood?
Yes, but he couldn't add much to what you told me.
Oh, this is number two hold.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, it's completely empty. Same goes for the one next door.
How long is it since anyone's been down here?
Oh, not since Deckard. 7 or 8 days ago.
No, I think it's more recent than that.
What?
Well, take a look here. There's a match here. It's used, but quite clean.
Yes, I see.
In fact, there's a whole trail of them. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... Must be at least 10 or 12 of them.
Well, perhaps some of the crew have been down here having a quiet smoke.
Mm-hmm. But not a single cigarette butt anywhere.
That's puzzling, isn't it?
Well, it's intriguing, certainly. And these matches are foreign.
Are they?
And some of them are burnt right down, but I can read the name on one or two. Tolmar.
Tolmar?
Mm. They're made by a Dutch firm in Amsterdam. Got any Dutchmen aboard?
But only the cook.
Then I think we ought to pay a visit to the galley, don't you?
Jan. Here a minute, please.
You call me, Captain.
This gentleman's from head office. He'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah?
Have you ever seen these matches before?
Yeah. They are mine.
Have you been down in number two hold?
No, Captain.
Well, that's where we found them.
But, Captain, someone did take my matches.
What do you mean, take?
Well, they are in my cabin when I leave the ship last night. But when I come back, they are gone. Someone did take.
Do you want to question him further, Barnaby?
No, not at the moment. But I would like to make one more journey down into number three hold.
I hope you're not wearing your best suit, Barnaby. This hole's even dustier than the last. It hasn't been used this trip.
Smells pretty musty. Can I borrow that torch again?
Certainly.
Thanks. Seems a bit smaller than the other two.
Yeah, it is.
Captain, over here a minute. What do you make of this?
What is it?
Along here, there are some marks in the dust. As though someone's grabbed hold of these battens.
Well, that's odd. I'm sure no one's been down here this trip.
Well, these marks didn't get here by themselves. In number one hole, there's a torch and an unexplained fire. In number two, a trail of matches. And in number three, some mysterious finger marks.
Yes, it's quite a puzzle, isn't it?
I agree, the pieces don't fit at the moment. So to speed things up, I may need a little outside help. Now, there's a police inspector I know.
Police? You think the company will like it?
Oh, don't worry. No publicity. This gentleman happens to be a very special friend of mine.
But, Hugh, unless you have definite evidence of arson, I've no grounds for fingerprinting the entire crew, let alone passengers. In fact, they could refuse unless I made a charge.
But I have a feeling, Robbie, that whoever left those fingerprints is in some way responsible for that fire.
Well, I might have known. Enjoying your drink?
Hello, Val.
Now, don't foul me. You were supposed to be calling the office, remember?
Oh, dear.
Here.
What's this?
Alec's report and those rags and cotton waste.
That was quick.
It'd have been quicker if you'd rung up earlier.
Well, you can start work, Robbie. Those rags didn't catch a light on their own.
You're positive?
It was fuel oil, not vegetable oil. Someone started that fire.
Well, the inspector's almost through, I believe.
No trouble with the crew?
None at all.
What about the engineer and that Dutch cook?
Oh, they gave their fingerprints quite willingly.
Well, then it shouldn't be difficult to trace who went down into that hold.
No.
Oh, none of the crew have left the ship, have they?
No, only the two passengers, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest. The inspector's checking on them. Oh, that may be him. Come in. Oh, come on in, Inspector.
How'd you get out, Robbie?
Well, first about those two passengers, the Forrests. They've gone up north, but I found some prints in their cabin. They don't match, so there's little point in chasing them.
How about the crew?
They're in the clear.
So, we're out of luck.
I didn't say that. I found a matching set.
You have?
Yes, in cabin number 7. Now, who occupied that cabin?
Well, Mr. Moreau.
Moreau, did you say? But he's not on the list you gave us.
Well, you were looking for someone who might have started the fire, weren't you? Mr. Moreau died at sea 2 days ago.
What?
I couldn't see a corpse setting fire to the ship, could you?
I see your point. Rob, are you sure those prints are the same?
Oh, now, don't you start. There's no doubt about it. The prints in number 3 hold are the same as those in cabin number 7.
But have you checked with the body?
No, not yet, but I intend to. Where is it, Captain?
In the morgue at Bridge Hospital.
Well, let's go, Robbie. And while we're about it, we'd better confirm the cause of death.
There you are, Q. Pathologist's report. Heart failure.
Thanks.
And as for those fingerprints, I took them myself directly from the body. The prints in that hold are Moreau's.
I'm sorry, Robbie. I just don't believe in ghosts.
Well, whether you do or not, you're chasing one.
Now, who ever heard of a ghost with pyromaniacal tendencies?
Well, what about poltergeists?
Well, they certainly throw things around, but not usually matches.
Look, I agree. It doesn't make sense. After all, if someone wanted to start a fire, they could have chosen a much better place than one of the holds. Well, there's something fishy going on, if you ask me.
Well, I'm not arguing on that score. There's something fishy going on, all right.
I'm sorry, Barnaby, but I just can't believe anyone on board would start a fire deliberately. You see,
the fact remains, Captain, that that hold caught fire because someone put a match to it. I can't put my signature to a report reading fire in number 1 hold caused by the ghost of a former passenger.
Yeah, sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it?
Exactly. It'd be the last time I'd be employed. Now, if you wouldn't mind, there are just one or two more questions. First, did anyone come aboard the ship after you docked?
Well, the customs officers and Mrs. Moreau. I broke the news to her. Then I handed her a letter left by her husband.
A letter? What was in it, do you know?
No, something personal, I suppose.
One other point, Captain. Is there any other way of getting to the dock bar that entrance down the alleyway?
No. And there's a gatekeeper there 24 hours a day. No one could get in or out without being spotted.
I see. Who was on that night?
Fred. He's there now, if you want a word with him.
Later. Now, what time did Mrs. Moreau leave the ship?
Oh, about 9. One of my men got her a taxi. The only one on board at the time of the fire was my chief steward, Mr. Haywood.
Oh, yes, Mr. Barnaby. You're the bloke what's looking into the fire.
That's right. Fred, isn't it? This is my secretary, Miss Crane. Well, Fred, you were on duty here at the time, I believe.
I was, but I promise you no one gets in or out of here without me knowing. It's as much as my job's worth.
Naturally.
But it's certainly a rum business, isn't it? I've been hearing about it from some of the crew.
Oh, what have you heard?
Well, they've been saying it was a ghost, but it's a bit of a tall story. Mind you, there were some strange goings-on that night.
What sort of goings-on?
Well, Captain Clark come through here in a taxi about 20 to 11. About 5 minutes later, the phone goes.
Which phone?
Well, that one, over there in the alcove.
Go on.
Well, I answer it, but there's no one there. I thought maybe it was the wrong number. It happens sometimes. Well, about 20 minutes later, blow me if the phone don't ring again. There's still no one there. Well, it weren't long after that when Mr. Haywood come tearing in here about the fire.
I see.
So, when I heard about that ghost, I thought maybe he'd telephone me first.
Tell me, Fred, is there a phone on board?
Yeah, it was only connected this morning, though. Excuse me, maybe it's that spook again. Riverside Wharf, hello? Yes, Charlie, they're picking up the crates at 12. Yeah, sure. I'll see to the consignment, no? Pleasure. Well, Mr. Barnaby, anything more I can do for you?
No, thank you, Fred. You've been a great help.
Well, personally, Q, I don't think Fred was much help at all. All that talk about telephone calls.
Ben, didn't you notice anything just now?
When?
As Fred answered the phone.
Well, he disappeared for a minute or so.
Exactly. The phone's tucked away in a small alcove. When he picks up the receiver, the entrance to the dock is out of his line of vision. Anyone could slip through without him noticing.
You mean those phone calls were made deliberately?
Well, there's a public phone inside the dock and one just across the street. Huh? Be easy enough to dial Fred's number, then quickly nip through the entrance.
Oh, I see. You know, for a moment I thought...
Now, don't tell me you believe in ghosts.
I was beginning to. Where to now?
Mrs. Moreau's, Belgravia Court.
Very sumptuous apartments, Q.
Aren't they, though? Mrs. Moreau?
Yes. You're Mr. Barnaby.
And my secretary, Miss Crane.
Come in, please.
Oh, thank you.
Captain Clark rang up about my husband's things. He mentioned you might be calling.
I hope this won't distress you, but my reason for calling concerns your husband.
Oh?
If you'd rather not discuss it
now... Oh, no, please do carry on.
I understand that following his illness, he had some difficulty in getting about.
Yes, but he managed extremely well with his sticks.
Mrs. Moreau, do you think he... Could he climb a ladder, say?
I don't really know, but why do you ask?
Well, during my investigations into the fire, I found his fingerprints in number 3 hold.
Oh? But how extraordinary. I mean, what would he be doing down there?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, how on earth can I help you?
It's just a shot in the dark.
Are you going back to the boat by any chance?
Well, possibly. Why?
Well, I'd arranged to collect my husband's luggage this afternoon, but I just remembered something, so it'll have to wait till this evening. Do you think you could let Captain Clark know?
Yes, of course. Now, don't worry, Mrs. Burrow. I'll tell him.
You know, Barnaby, I'd be in trouble if the company knew I'd let you search a passenger's luggage.
But the passenger's no longer with us, is he? Anyway, you're here. There's no harm done, surely. How are you getting on with that briefcase, Val?
Nothing in here to speak of.
How about the trunk?
Well, I've been through all the pockets of the suits.
Then that's that. There were just the 2 suitcases, briefcase and trunk. Is that right, Captain?
And the walking stick.
And that's the lot.
That's all that's here.
Has the cabin been kept locked?
Oh, of course.
Well, that is interesting.
Well, is there something missing?
Oh, I know there is. That puzzle you spoke about, Captain, I think we're on our way to finding that missing piece. If you'll follow me, I'm going down to number 3 hold. Can you manage, Val?
Fine, in spite of the shoes.
You got my torch, Barnaby?
I'd hardly forget that. Now, those finger marks were along over here, weren't they? So I'd lay odds that's where it's hidden.
But what are you searching for?
You'll see. No luck so far. Might be further along. Ha! I thought so. It's here, all right.
What have you found?
Never mind. For the moment, it's staying where it is. Now, how's the time, Captain?
Must be about 9:30.
Well, I shouldn't think we've got much time, so I'll have to postpone any explanations. Captain, I'd like you to stay down here with me. Val, I want you to go back up and first of all have a word with Mr. Hayward, the chief steward.
Your husband's luggage is in here, Mrs. Moreau.
Thank you, Mr. Hayward.
Do you want a hand?
No, thank you. I'll call the taxi driver.
Well, if you need me, I'll be in my office down the passageway.
Thank you.
Bit nippy down here, isn't it, Captain?
It's not my idea of how to spend an evening either.
I don't think we'll have to wait much longer, though.
What did I say?
Found what you're looking for, Mrs. Moreau?
Oh!
Well, I'm sorry if I startled you, but don't worry. We're not alone.
Mrs. Moreau, what are you doing down here?
Well, I see you found it. So do tell the captain. After all, it is an odd place for your husband to leave his walking stick.
Is that what she took from behind those battens?
It isn't an ordinary one, is it, Mrs. Moreau? Let me see. Does it unscrew at the top or the bottom? Ah, the top. Now, just like to hold out your hands, Captain?
What the... Diamonds, aren't they? Rough diamonds. Good grief.
No wonder you could afford to live in Belgravia, Mrs. Moreau. Oh, now, no heroics.
Let me go.
Certainly, providing you remember that we all leave together. Well, it's a pity, really. If only you had tried this hold first. But then they're not numbered, are they?
But Barnaby, what difference would that have made?
All the difference in the world. It's obvious now that Moreau was engaged in smuggling. Probably had been for years. But on the return trip, he had a heart attack. Well, to be on the safe side, he hides the stick in this hold here. Hence the fingerprints. And leaves Mrs. Moreau the note. Later, she gets aboard again by distracting the gatekeeper's attention. She climbs into number one hole, but there's no light.
I get it, so she borrows the engineer's torch.
That's it, but the battery's low and it runs out. So then she takes the cook's matches from the galley. But she has no luck in number one hole, so she moves into number two.
Leaving a trail of matches behind.
Yes. Meanwhile, my guess is that a smoldering match in number one sets some oily rags alight. Unless she's about to climb down here, she realizes what's happened and bolts for it. Am I right, Mrs. Moreau?
I refuse to answer any questions.
But I knew if I'd mentioned those fingerprints we had found, you'd be back after dark. Still, this stick's evidence enough. Trouble was, you mentioned he had two sticks. But in the cabin, there was only one.
So the fire was an accident?
Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, yes. Just shows you how careful you have to be with matches.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in The Guilty Ghost, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.